This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we have Major League Baseball in progress to track, plenty of games to get to for tomorrow's slate, as well as the Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, which will begin tomorrow in Edmonton. I got some numbers for you when it comes to the Stanley Cup Final, not just for the series price, but also for Game 1 specifically. Plus, we got to talk a little bit more about the NBA Finals. We'll reiterate our best bets that we've already given out on Game 1 of the Finals coming up on Thursday in OKC. But Major League Baseball in progress right now, something to keep an eye on. The Mets and Dodgers battling out there in Chavez Ravine, the National League Championship Series rematch in which the Mets took Game 1 in extra innings. Right now, they are battling in the top of the third inning. The Dodgers looking for a little revenge here and to snap their small losing skid. They have a 4-1 lead over the Mets, but Juan Soto is up with a runner in scoring position. So we'll see if Soto can come through here against Clayton Kershaw. Elsewhere in progress, the A's with a 2-1 win over the 2-1 lead, excuse me, over the Twins. And this game is the Battle of the Lopez's. Pablo Lopez getting the start for the Twins. Jacob Lopez didn't necessarily get the start, but he's the bulk guy for the A's. So the A's decided to go with Grant Holman as the opener in the first inning, and then Jacob Lopez came in the second. So a 2-1 A's lead over the Minnesota Twins. The Twins closed north of $2 favorites in that game, so something to keep an eye on there. Orioles with a 2-1 lead over the Mariners in the top of the fifth inning. George Kirby looking much better in this start as he did in his first few starts coming off of the IL. So George Kirby, who the Mariners were banking on big things this year, he came off the IL, made his first start, and was atrocious, giving up 5 runs on 6 hits in just 3 innings of work. And then in his second start, he wasn't much better. 6 runs on 7 hits in 5 innings. But here tonight, George Kirby appears to have settled down a bit as he has gone 4 2/3 innings, 8 hits allowed, but only 2 runs, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts as the Orioles are threatening in the top of the fifth inning as Juan Soto has just gone yard for the New York Mets, who now pull to within 4-3. Against Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. So for Juan Soto, getting off the schneid here a little bit, his 11th home run of the season. He did homer in Colorado and in back-to-back games in Colorado, but then again, it's like, it's Colorado, right? So in non-Colorado games, Juan Soto hasn't homered since May 9th at home against Chicago. So he had gone a stretch from May 9th all the way to May 31st when he homered in Colorado in back-to-back games. But again, Colorado, right? Pop-ups go out of that ballpark. And then he just homered now off of Clayton Kershaw, his 11th homer of the season, as the Dodgers lead the Mets now 4-3. And taking a look at the live market right now in this game, as the Dodgers still overwhelming favorites. Because it's only the third inning. Like, there's still plenty of time left in this ball game, but the Dodgers are minus 410 on the live line. So you can grab the New York Mets at a plus 290 price, now trailing by just 1 if you think they either get to Kershaw once again or if they'll get to the Dodger bullpen. And we know that Tanner Scott, especially at the end of that Dodger bullpen, has not been very trustworthy. But the Dodgers still north of $4 favorites here as they have a 4-3 lead over the Mets going to the bottom of the third inning there in L.A. Elsewhere, the Giants with a 2-0 lead over the Padres, bottom of the fifth inning. Another low-scoring game between these two teams. Last night, they played into the 10th inning where the Padres won 1-0 over the Giants. So another low-scoring game tonight in San Francisco, but the Giants having a 2-0 lead over the Padres. They are in the bottom of the fifth inning. Earlier today, the Colorado Rockies won their second straight game, defeating the Marlins 3-2. And that snaps a skid of 22 consecutive series in which the Rockies were defeated. They are guaranteed a win in this series now, taking the first 2 games from
the Miami Marlins. So congratulations to the Rockies, who will win a series for the first time in 22 consecutive series. And they win two straight games. And, you know, are they going to make it three in a row? They won two straight earlier this season against the Braves on April 30th and then the Giants on May 1st before going on another losing skid. And that's the only time that they've won two straight games this season. So will they win three straight for the first time this year? Something to keep an eye on when we look at the schedule for Wednesday's Major League Baseball games. Paul Skeens with a good outing, but no offensive support, which has become the norm now for the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, if you look up the Pirates pitching staff and their run support, so how many runs their pitchers are getting on average per game. If you look at the pitchers in Major League Baseball, it's embarrassing that multiple of the lowest, least run support guys are on the Pittsburgh Pirates. If we just look at pitchers that have had double digit starts, because I'm not going to look at the guys that only have like eight starts or seven starts or whatever. Andrew Haney's made 12 starts. Let's look up his numbers here because he's actually had a pretty good year. But let's see. Andrew Haney is 3-4 with a 3.39 ERA. He's made 12 starts. He's gotten 2.17 runs per game of run support. It's just unacceptable. Mitch Keller has made 12 starts. 2.33 runs per game. And I bet you Skeen's numbers might be a little bit higher as 12 starts for Skeens, 3.92, but that's going to go down with this 13th start here today because those numbers might be skewed because the last game in Arizona, the Pirates scored 10 runs, and that was a game in which Skeens started. So take out that 10-run outburst in the last start, and we're looking at the same numbers that we've been getting for all of these Pirates pitchers, which is embarrassingly low numbers of runs scored for these guys. They get no run support. And so Skeens, you got to feel for the guy because he goes out there and he throws eight innings of one run ball with eight strikeouts. The only run he gave up, three hits allowed. The only run he gave up was on a solo home run in the seventh inning. So he was going seven scoreless or six scoreless. His team still couldn't score a run for him. He gives up a solo home run in the seventh, picks up the loss as the Pirates lose 3-0 to the Houston Astros. Just embarrassing. There's a lot of embarrassing stuff going around Major League Baseball. The Rockies, as we mentioned, are embarrassing. That's pretty embarrassing here for Paul Skeens and for this Pittsburgh Pirates team that gives their pitchers absolutely no run support. Speaking of no run support, we talked about it. We gave it out as a best bet on yesterday's show. It was the first five innings under in the Tampa Bay Rays game against the Texas Rangers because the Rangers can't score. This offense is the third lowest scoring offense in all of Major League Baseball. They managed just one run in this game against the Tampa Bay Rays. It was a 1-0 game, 1-0 lead for the Rays after five. So the under in the first five innings cashed between Tyler Molly on the mound for the Rangers and Drew Rasmussen for the Tampa Bay Rays. Rasmussen goes five innings, shutout, one hit allowed, eight strikeouts. And for Tyler Molly, he winds up giving up four runs on five hits, five strikeouts and two walks as the Rays did score three runs in the bottom of the sixth inning. So a 5-1 win for the Rays, but we cashed our best bet on the under in the first five innings. Something that we're going to look to keep attacking when it comes to this Texas Rangers team. They're one of the best first five under teams in baseball. We know they're the very best just full game under team in Major League Baseball because their pitching's fantastic, but they can't score. So that's a team that you just want to continue to hammer unders on in Major League Baseball is the Texas Rangers, whether it's first five or full game. And both came in here in this game in Tampa. Elsewhere, the White Sox picked up a W over the Tigers, 8-1. The Royals, a 10-7 win over the Cardinals. Diamondbacks beat the Braves, 8-3. As Spencer Strider falls to 0-4 on this 2025 campaign with a 5.68 ERA. We talk about guys struggling when they come off the IL. Well, he has struggled since he has returned from his IL stint from last year going into this year. So it's been a rough go of it, if you will, for Spencer Strider and the Braves. And the Brewers had their winning streak snapped. The Reds with a 4-2 win in Cincinnati. Angels in 10 innings beat the Red Sox 4-3. Boy, this Red Sox offense without Alex Bregman is just pitiful right now. And the Phillies, an 8-3 win over the Blue Jays. Yankees beat the Guardians 3-2. And the big story there in the Bronx was that Luke Weaver, the Yankee closer, is out 4 to 6 weeks. And so the question was, who was going to get the call in the ninth inning to get the save for the Yankees? Devin Williams got the call. Devin Williams did give up a run, but still locked down the save as the roller coaster of what will be the Yankee ninth inning will continue for the time being. There's also major news coming out of New York, not baseball related, but basketball related. We'll get to that coming up next. I want to remind you guys that if you want to bet smarter this football season, you can become a VSIN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, the no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. You sign up now, you get instant access to the daily email with the best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, access to the VSIN Watch app, plus our NFL betting guide coming out July 1st. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Use promo code BOOK to sign up now. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out on VSIN.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg here with you on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. You can hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. Last segment going over what went on in Major League Baseball here on Tuesday. We still have games in progress. Obviously, we're tracking the action in LA between the Dodgers and the Mets. Talked about the Yankees getting a win over the Guardians, and it was another fantastic start by Carlos Rodon. So, yes, even though it was a shaky ninth inning for Devin Williams, and boy, Yankees fans are going to have to deal with this for 4 to 6 weeks now without Luke Weaver. But Devin Williams comes in, gives up a run in the ninth, but still locks down the save as the Yankees win 3-2. But for Carlos Rodon, he goes 7 innings, allowing 1 run on 5 hits with 8 strikeouts. And over his last 9 games, Carlos Rodon has thrown for 70 strikeouts with 9 runs allowed. According to Katie Sharp on Twitter, Rodon is the first pitcher in Yankee history with 70 or more strikeouts and 9 or fewer runs allowed over any 9-game span in a single season. What a stretch it has been for Carlos Rodon. Like, this dude is back. And the Yankees are in a great spot right now. And you wonder, you can think about where they would have been this year if Gerrit Cole was healthy. But in the absence of Gerrit Cole, the fact that, one, Max Fried is pitching like a Cy Young contender, and two, Carlos Rodon has become the pitcher that he once was, that's why the Yankees are 6.5 games up in first place, sitting here with the, second best record in the entire American League behind the Detroit Tigers. Even losing one of the best pitchers in baseball for the entire season. So Rodon, an incredible stretch run that he has been, been in, and we'll see if he can continue it here for the New York Yankees. Just updating the scores in progress real quick. The Mets are batting here in the fourth inning, still trailing 4-3 over the Dodgers. Your live total is at 12.5. Clayton Kershaw still in the game for LA. Meanwhile, A's with the 2-1 lead over the Twins in the fifth inning. The Giants still holding on to that 2-0 lead over the Padres in the sixth. And the Orioles have added a run, now lead 3-1 over the Seattle Mariners in the sixth inning. Well, big news out of the NBA. The New York Knicks have fired head coach Tom Thibodeau after probably the best season in the last 25 plus years. The Knicks make it to the conference finals. They have won 50 games in back-to-back seasons. Tibbs, playoffs in four of the last 5 years. And the Knicks deciding that this is as far as they can go. You see, that's the thing. When you think about this move is not made isolated or in a vacuum. This move is not made without an idea of who you're bringing in to replace Tom Thibodeau, because this move took a lot of people by surprise. Certainly the players were surprised. I mean, Jalen Brunson was asked about Tibbs' status after they lost to the Pacers in game six, and he was caught off guard by the question, because he didn't even think it was a question. He believed that Tibbs was the guy. He's their coach. And a lot of players, I know Josh Hart tweeted out some words of support, a lot of players tweeting out some words of support, and it seemed like there was a divide between Knicks fans and basketball pundits, because a lot of smart basketball people don't understand this move. There's a lot of smart basketball people out there that think it wasn't necessarily Tibbs that was the issue with this team. Maybe the roster construction just wasn't there. They didn't have the depth. And could that have been a Tibbs issue? Sure, because when the Knicks acquired Mikal Bridges, they put together an elite starting five, right? With Brunson and Hart and Towns, Ananobi, and Bridges, that is a top five that rivals most top fives in the NBA. And Tibbs is a guy who plays his starters more minutes than any other coach in the NBA. So it feels like it works out. But can that work for you as you go deeper into the playoffs? And that's the point here. Because if you were firing Tibbs because he didn't win games, that's not true. As we just mentioned, back-to-back 50-win seasons, he won games. If you were firing him because he didn't establish a winning culture, well, that's not true. He established a winning culture. He brought a culture back to the New York Knicks, an identity back to the New York Knicks. Now, you want to say they lost some of that identity? They weren't. They certainly weren't the same defensive team that they were when Tibbs took over. But did they have the players that could have played defense the way Tibbs wanted them to play defense? Certainly not. I mean, just look at how horrible the defensive net rating was when Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns were on the floor together. And if you want to say that maybe that's the piece that didn't quite work out, the Towns trade didn't quite work out. I mean, Towns was brought in to be that second alpha. And at times he showed that he was capable of doing that, but it just never seemed to fit. And maybe Tibbs wasn't the coach to make it fit. This move, a lot of Knicks fans are happy about it, because a lot of Knicks fans that are outside the Garden chanting, they wanted Tibbs gone. Because the Knicks kept on raising the bar. The Knicks fans kept raising the bar. They kept moving the goalposts back. It wasn't good enough to just beat the Detroit Pistons. And then when you faced the Celtics, it wasn't good enough that you somehow got by the Boston Celtics. And then when you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, it wasn't good enough that you went to six games. And I'm trying to remember, when did it become NBA Finals or bust for this Knicks team? And you could say that maybe when they beat the Celtics, that's when it all changed. That's when expectations changed because they were favored against the Pacers. They had home court advantage. Heck, they had a 14-point lead with about 2 minutes or so left in the game. Game one. And if an early line came out on game number two, early line for the series, like the Knicks should have won that series. But they didn't. Was it Tibbs' fault? Is he a fall guy here? Or, as I expect, was this move made because they have their next coach already? It's the only logical explanation for me. This doesn't feel like a basketball move. This feels like an ownership move. And we know that James Dolan, the Knicks owner, has certainly meddled before. He has gotten involved personally and forced moves to be made. The Knicks could have waited to sign Carmelo Anthony in free agency. Instead, the owner forced them, forced the hand. The Knicks making that move during the season, shipping away what was a really talented core group of players and bringing in Carmelo Anthony midway through the season. And, you know, however, whatever you want to say about the Melo era, you say about the Melo era, but they could have waited and just signed him in the offseason. But instead, they gave away all those talented players. You look at how much the owner values the public's opinion, whether it's kicking fans out of the Garden for talking negatively about the team, banning former players or celebrities for things that have been said about the organization. He's very reactionary. So was this a decision made by Leon Rose and World Wide West running the Knicks? Or was this a decision that came down from ownership? If it was a decision made by the basketball people, not the owner, but the basketball people, it tells me they have their coach in mind. They have the next coach ready, and they're going to make a quick hire. We have odds on who's going to be the next coach. Mike Malone, former Nuggets coach, is the favorite. Jay Wright, former Villanova coach, is the second favorite, and that's the name that everybody's talking about. I can't see that happening. As much as I love the storyline of Jay Wright going into the NBA, wearing his suits on the sideline and coaching his former Villanova players, it's not happening. It's not. Who will be the next coach of the Knicks? And is it enough to take this team to the next level, which will be to go to an NBA Finals? Because they are the second favorite right now in the Eastern Conference for next year. Speaking of the NBA playoffs, they're heating up, and our partner ProfitX offering the best odds all playoff long. ProfitX, a sports peer-to-peer sports exchange. It's available in 40-plus states, which means you're going to make your picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks, and exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's cashing out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. The Stanley Cup Final will begin tomorrow, Wednesday night in Edmonton, a rematch between the Oilers and the Panthers, where the Panthers will look to become back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. But something interesting that we see in the market here, the Edmonton Oilers are the favorite in this Stanley Cup Final. And this is actually, and shout out to our friend Evan Abrams, the Action Network, for pointing it out, this is the first time in the last 40 years in any of the four major sports, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, or NFL, where we have a rematch of a championship series where the team that won the title last year is an underdog in this rematch. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line to talk more about the Florida Panthers and the Stanley Cup Final is former NHL player Bill Lindsley, current analyst for the Florida Panthers. Bill, what do you make of that? The Panthers win the cup last year, and now they're dogs to this same Edmonton Oilers team.
40 years. That's a long time.
Yep.
To get back at it. That's okay with us. We were underdogs a couple of years ago when we got to the cup finals against Las Vegas and ended up losing last year. It was a tremendous final against Edmonton, but they have the best player in the world, Connor McDavid. Who's going to bet against the best player in the world twice? That's a tough look. It's like Michael Jordan, those same type of people, Tom Brady. They expect the superstars to rise to the occasion and be the best. Hockey's a team sport. Panthers have one of the best teams. If you look throughout the depth of the lineup, consistency, goaltending, there is a lot that goes into this series. Not sure how the bettors figure everything out, but both teams are very competent. It's going to come down to a bounce here or there. It's going to be that close, and the margin for error is extremely thin. I guess that's the way it probably should be on the betting line.
Absolutely, and it is a very closely favorite lined series, as the Oilers are just a small minus 120 favorite because they have home ice, I would assume, is the only reason why, because we know that they're favored in game number one in Edmonton. They'll likely be favored again in game two, and Florida should be a heavier favorite when the series shifts to Sunrise for games three and four. Last year was a phenomenal series, okay? Florida wins the first three games, but then Edmonton claws all the way back and forces a game number seven. What lessons can be learned from last year's final that the Panthers can take into this year's series?
You can't let up for one moment. There's too much star talent on that other side. We were able to control McDavid, Draisaitl the first three games, and then they got loose. We couldn't even control them. The horse was out of the barn. They're that explosive, the Edmonton Oilers. And once they got rolling, that speed game became really hard to stop. And the Panthers really pride themselves on a heavy forecheck and controlling speed through the middle of the ice. They did that through the first three games. Then Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, the rest of the boys started to do their thing. And maybe probably a big reason the betting favorite on this series is a little bit deeper Edmonton line. I feel the Panthers lineup with Marchand and Jones on the blue line is also deeper. This is probably like last year's playoffs, just with a little bit extra juice and a little extra jump on both sides. Should be a tremendous series, but we'll see how it shakes out for it. But the lessons learned is, anytime you're facing one of the league's best players and they have talent like that, if you got a chance to nail it down, you better take it.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at this roster, you mentioned a key name there, Brad Marchand. What difference has he made to this dressing room and this team as a whole?
He's the leader, captain of an original six team, longtime Boston Bruin, comes here to Florida, but it's a round peg into a round hole. We got a lot of players, Sam Bennett, Matthew Tkachuk, go throughout our lineup that like to play that mean, nasty, hard style, and Brad Marchand fits that bill to a T. So he comes in here, it's been a seamless fit. And that's a credit to our general manager and then our coach making it work onto the ice. But Brad Marchand is a ball of energy. Once you meet him off the ice, he's very, very easy to like. He's got a personality in spades. He's running up and down, 37 years old. I saw him in the when he was a little late for a bus in dress clothes. He just said, "Old man, coming through, get out of the way." He's enjoying every moment of it. And it's been especially prominent on his line mates, Lundell and Luo Stirinen, really good defensively, but he's imploring them to get better offensively. Guys, let's push. We know we can take care of the defensive end of the puck. We have to push, do things on our stick, and because of that, Lundell, Luo Stirinen, and Marchand has become one of the most effective lines that we have and one of the hardest lines for the opponents to match up against. Our top two lines are already really good, but that line has outscored opponents 10-2 at even strength throughout the course of these playoffs, and they have been a real big separator for him. So Marchand, with his leadership abilities fitting into that room, you just can't see enough what he brings to a team.
How are the Panthers doing health-wise? I know a couple of days off here is going to help, obviously, get guys back to as close. No one's 100% now. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. But yeah. How healthy are they? We know Mikkola missed the game. We know Reinhardt missed a couple of games and then returned. How are the Panthers health-wise going into this game number one?
Good to go. Full tilt. They're ready. A.J. Greer, a fourth-line guy, is maybe one question mark, but he'll be a game-time decision tomorrow. We got options on our fourth line. We got a lot of options up front. But both teams are healthier than last year, outside of Zach Hyman, who's going to be missing for the Edmonton Oilers. Both these teams come in with this break. You've had 4 days for the Oilers, 5 days for the Panthers. Leon Draisaitl was a little nicked up in last year's playoff series. As you touched on, no one's completely healthy. You're going to need – you're about as healthy as you can get on both sides to start this series. It probably won't end up at the end that way. This is going to probably be pretty vicious between these two teams. There's going to be a lot of bumps. But when you get set out with the day's rest and what the way that it's slated for this Stanley Cup playoffs and the days that we've had to get ready for it, every game should be a humdinger. It should be full throttle, pedal to the metal, all you got. It should not be one team, okay, we're a little bit tired on this end. No, that should be no excuse for either of these groups, and that's why I'm looking forward to it. These are the two best teams in the NHL, and they're going at it healthy, rested. It sets up for what you'd expect. One extraordinary final.
Talking to former NHL player Bill Lindsley, currently an analyst for the Florida Panthers, as well as the NHL Network. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN. As far as the Conn Smythe Trophy is concerned, last year McDavid won it in a losing effort, and he deserved it. I'm not going to argue that. He deserved it, absolutely. It's because it's the MVP of the entire playoffs, not just the Stanley Cup final. He broke Gretzky's assist record. We know about the legacy there for Connor McDavid. If the Panthers win the cup again this year, who's going to be the reason? Is it as simple as saying Sergei Bobrovsky, or is there a player out there, a skater out there that you believe is going to have to perform at the highest level and get the nod as the Conn Smythe winner?
Sergei Bobrovsky, he's going to have to put on a show. He's going against one of the most talented offenses, so that is going to stand out. He's going to be extremely important to this group. Our depth and scoring has been rounded out. If you look at our top goal scorer, point getter, that is going to be Barkov. He's going to be Selke Trophy winner this year, just announced best defensive forward in the league, matched up against McDavid. Can he shut him down? If he does, puts up points, then there's a chance to reckon that you could go that way with Alexander Barkov. Bennett has 10 goals on our team, but our team is just too balanced up front. When you look at it, if I had to pick a Conn Smythe winner out of this hat, right, at the moment, probably lean towards Bobrovsky even more heavily so going into a series against a very, very talented Edmonton team.
Final thing, Bill, we got about 2 minutes left here. Is this much ado about nothing? The whole Paul Maurice coaches shouldn't be in the handshake line. Rod Brind'Amour coming out now and saying that he was caught by surprise. Like, is this really a non-story? Because I actually liked what Paul Maurice had to say after the game about it.
Yeah, Paul Maurice has a different view. He's been in the league for 27 years, and he said at the time he started that the coaches didn't get involved in the handshake line, and he kind of wants to go back to that. Had an agreement in round number two against Toronto with Craig Berube. He said, if we win or lose or whatever, we'll shake hands and we'll let the players on the ice that fought it out. Rod Brind'Amour had a different take on that. And to each is their own. I don't think it's that kind of big a deal. If the other coach, even if Rod Brind'Amour disagreed with it, if he wants to jump in the handshake line, fine. He doesn't have to agree with Maurice on that part of it. Maurice can stay out, shake Rod Brind'Amour's coach or Rod Brind'Amour's hand, whoever the coach is on the other side. And if the other coach wants to join in the party and handshake line, albeit, and Paul Maurice has said his piece and each can go their separate ways. I just don't read too much into that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Paul Maurice, though. Like I said, I loved what he had to say about letting the players have their moment. So that's kind of where I lean. So I'm on your side, Bill, and I'm on Paul Maurice's side. Former NHL player, current analyst for the Panthers, Bill Lindsley, appreciate the time. Say hi to Goldie for me, all right?
Yeah, I'll say hi to Goldie. Knows everyone, of course, Scott.
We've all worked with each other some way or another. You know, it's a very incestuous business. Take care, Bill.
All right, thank you very much. Enjoy the series.
There he is, former Florida, played for the Florida Panthers, played for the Quebec Nordiques as well. Bill Lindsley joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line on Cash Now, previewing the Stanley Cup Final. I'll reiterate my pick for the Conn Smythe, plus some stats and trends you don't want to miss when it comes to Game 1 here of the Stanley Cup Final. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN.
Welcome back to Cashing Out. out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. A reminder, with the Stanley Cup playoffs, you can take a look at all of the analysis that we have on VSiN from all of our hockey experts. Check out all of our playoff coverage right now on the VSiN Watch app. My thanks to Bill Lindsley, former NHL player, who joined me here on our last segment as we talked. He's currently an analyst for the Florida Panthers and as well as the NHL Network. And we talked about the series here coming up, game one tomorrow night. And when you look at this game number one, there's a couple of things that jump out. First off, the Oilers are favored in game one, as they should be. This is a very even series. I would actually lean slightly towards the Panthers as far as the pricing is concerned, because it was a minus 110 both ways. It shifts to becoming Oilers minus 120 because they have home ice. I get that. I get that they have home ice. But when you look at what the odds are going to be, I can tell you right now that when the series goes to Florida for games three and four, the Panthers will be higher than a minus 130 favorite. So to me, the math doesn't necessarily add up when we do the series pricing. Well, then I guess you have to account seven games. So I guess you're right. But if we're just looking at the first four games, right, because we're not guaranteed anything beyond four games. So if we just look at the first four games, minus 130, maybe minus 130 again, minus 125 maybe, or depending on how the game plays out, once the series goes to Florida, they're going to be minus 140 favorites, maybe minus 145 favorites, the Florida Panthers. And then we see what happens once this goes to a game five and six, which I ultimately think it does. This is going to be a long series. If we're looking at the series total games, the favorites plus 200 for the series to go six games and the series to go seven games. For the spread, minus 220, Panthers plus a game and a half. Oilers plus a game and a half also is minus 200. I'd rather just go plus 200 on and split your bets between six and seven games. Bet a little bit on series to go six, bet a little bit on the series to go seven. And make sure that you get a profit when one of them hits. Because this series is going at least six games. These teams are too evenly matched. As far as a game one trend is concerned, well, let's look at the series first. Over the last 22 years, favorites in the series, in the Stanley Cup Final, 18-4. The favorite has won the last five straight years in the Stanley Cup Final. In game one of the Stanley Cup Final, the home teams in the database, as far as it goes back, which is the last 17 years, home teams are 13-4 straight up in game number one of the Stanley Cup Final. That would bode very well for the home Edmonton Oilers. Once again, let me repeat that. Game one home teams, forget about favorites, game one home teams in the Stanley Cup Final are 13-4 straight up in the last 17 Stanley Cup Finals. Now let's look at the totals. This is an interesting series because these are two very capable scoring teams, especially the Edmonton Oilers. The total in game one is 6.5. It's juiced at minus 125 to the under. But get this. If you look at the Stanley Cup Final, 6.5 totals are extremely rare. Going back through the database in the same time span, so we're talking about the last 17 years, it's only happened three times. And all three of those games were in the 2013 Stanley Cup Final. And those three games, by the way, 3-0 to the under 6.5 goals. Totals of six are 5-3 to the under. The majority of the games, at least in recent history, are lined at 5.5. We have now had nine straight Stanley Cup Final games that have had a total of 5.5. This total at 6.5 is very high and historically high because, like I said, we're not used to seeing 6.5 totals in a Stanley Cup final. So if I had to bet, if I have to bet on the total, it's got to be the under. It is juiced at minus 125 with good reason. I don't think the 6.5 stay because as we progress throughout Wednesday, I would imagine that money starts to pile in on the under and pushes this down to 6. And that number of 6, once again, 5-3 to the under in the Stanley Cup final. If we just look at the entirety of the playoffs in the history of the database, when the total is 6.5, the unders are 71-63. So that's 53% to the under. But again, this goes back all the way to 2013. So let's just look in recent history. If we want to go with the post-COVID year, so the start of the 2021 season, all right, it's actually been 50-50. 51% to the over, actually. Totals of 6.5 in the playoffs. So that's interesting. But not in the Stanley Cup final. So as you get later on, as you get later on into the playoffs, that's when the unders start to come in. Again, if we look at the Stanley Cup final only, totals of 6.5, it's only happened in the 3 times in 2013, or the 2012 season, but June of 2013 between the Blackhawks and the Bruins, 3 games, totals of 6.5, all 3 games went under. So, and the home team won all 3 of those games, believe it or not. Blackhawks won 2 of them, the Bruins won 1 of them. But all 3 of those went under. 6.5 totals are very rare in the Stanley Cup final. Now, as far as a Conn Smythe winner, last night on the show, I gave out Leon Draisaitl at plus 750. I understand the narrative surrounding Connor McDavid, and I do think that it's going to be very difficult to defeat Connor McDavid in terms of who the voters are going to vote to win the Conn Smythe Award. You throw in, as I mentioned, the narrative. Last year, he wins the award in a losing effort. He was incredible throughout the entire playoffs, and he doesn't get his celebratory moment. He stays in the dressing room. He accepts the award in the dressing room, and if the Oilers win the cup this year, the writers might say, hey, we want to give you your moment. Now's your time to stand out on the ice. Not only are you accepting Lord Stanley's cup, first time a Canadian team has won since 1993, your first cup, but we're going to let you accept the Conn Smythe Award as well. Plus, there's that whole synergy that I talked about between Wayne Gretzky, who lost his first trip to the Stanley Cup final and then won it the next year in a rematch against the New York Islanders. Sidney Crosby losing his first trip to the Stanley Cup final and then winning it the next year in a rematch against the Red Wings. And could Connor McDavid lose his first trip to the Stanley Cup final last year and then win it this year in a rematch against the Florida Panthers? So much synergy. The storylines are right there. The script can't be, it writes itself. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. But if we just look at the stats, and if we talk about a guy like Leon Draisaitl, if he winds up being the leading scorer in this Stanley Cup final, and you can look right now, there are props up for the series. So like who's going to be the most goal? Who's going to have the most goals? Leon Draisaitl is a plus 275 favorite to have the most goals in this Stanley Cup final. Now, McDavid's the favorite to have the most points, but Draisaitl's the favorite to have the most goals. If we look at this Stanley Cup playoffs right now, McDavid leads all skaters with 26 points. Draisaitl is next with 25 points. He has one more goal than McDavid and 2 fewer assists. 7 goals and 18 assists to McDavid's 6 goals and 20 assists. If Draisaitl winds up being the leading goal scorer in this series and he finishes the playoffs with more points than Connor McDavid, plus 750 is a great price on a Leon Draisaitl to win the Conn Smythe should the Oilers go on to win the Stanley Cup. That's my bet for the Conn Smythe. I already have one in on Sergei Bobrovsky that we got a week and a half ago. But right now, the bet to be made is Leon Draisaitl plus 750. Hey, VSiN fans, would you like to play the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest for free this season? Well, Winner's Circle Proxy is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, plus full proxy service, and you're going to get paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. So enter now for your chance to win. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.